I want to just talk about something in a little bit. We're going to be recognizing also our graduates. We have several graduates this year from junior high and high school and college even. But thinking about Father's Day and graduation, I was thinking one thing that I think is something that really not only dads and not only grads, but all of us need to understand is that we are leaving a legacy. You know what, dads, you imprint those around you. No matter whether you see it or not, we make a difference. And those that are graduating students, you know what, your decisions from this point on are going to leave a legacy. We leave a legacy in our friends. We leave a legacy on those around us. And so it's not about teaching us to leave a legacy, because you're going to leave a legacy. What I want to talk about today is we need to leave a legacy that's worth leaving. We need to begin to say, what is my life going to mean when I'm gone? What is my life doing to those around me? Because we are having an impact. And I think God, more than anything, He wants us to be people that make a difference. You see, God's love for each one of us is so deep that He has put us here to put our fingerprints on one another. I know a lot of times, you know, we go in houses and we want to wipe all the fingerprints off. We need to clean things. But fingerprints are the sign of life. God wants to put His fingerprints on us so that we can then leave fingerprints on others. Because I think that what we need to judge our life by is not how much we succeed or how much we achieve, but how much impact we have on others. And what direction are we sending those around us in? Because so many times we think of things that are just momentary reactions. And many times we have regrets and we I wish I hadn't said that. But you know what? We can't take that back, because in an instant, we can send someone in a direction that changes their life forever. And we need to begin to take control of ourselves, that we intentionally and consciously begin to take control of our legacy. We need to take control of our legacy. And we might say, man, I've done so many things in the past that you know what, I can't make up for. And that may be true, but here's the great thing about God, that we can change our legacy. You can change what you have done in the past. The things that you have done are not set in concrete yet. We can still change them. And so I want us to encourage you today to let's begin to mold the legacy that we're leaving. Dads and grads and all the rest, you can make a difference. Here's the biggest thing I want you to know: God believes in you. God believes in you. We need to begin to pick up that mantle, that you make a difference. And you might say, I'm too young. You know, I'm just a junior high graduate today. Do you know what? That God came to people younger than you. He came to a Daniel, who many people think was just a teenager, and used him to change a nation. He came to David and anointed him king before he was ever old enough to do more than just watch the sheep. You see, God does not see you as too young, and He doesn't see you as too old. He came to Abraham, who was not, he was already past his prime. You know what? He had already lived his life. He had already done everything, and God came to him and said, I'm going to start fresh with you. I'm 90 years old. How can I even have a kid? And God says, but I'm going to birth something out of you and Sarah that was not possible. So I don't care how young you are or how old you are today, God has a legacy for you. You might say, you know what? I don't have much time. And yet there is a legacy from that thief on the cross next to Jesus who only had seconds. And yet God built a legacy out of his life that we remember today. So no matter what your circumstances, I want to encourage you and challenge you today. Let's start today. Let's begin to leave a legacy that matters, that is worth looking back on, one that you can put in God's hands. And one day we're going to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to look at scripture from a man who wrote this, and we've been studying this on Wednesday nights. It is from Paul in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, starting in verse 6. And he says this. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." But he makes these three statements. "But I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You see, what Paul is saying is, he says, "I realize that I'm coming to the end. But I fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith." In other words, even to that point, he's saying, "I want to leave a legacy behind me." And he's writing to Timothy to tell him to pick up that mantle. Now, when we think of legacy, the legacy that we leave, I want you to understand that there's a difference between your reputation and a legacy. I don't want you to develop a reputation. I'm more concerned with your legacy. And a lot of times, we are more concerned with our reputation. We're more concerned with that thing of what people see rather than the difference that we make. See, the difference between a reputation and a legacy, here's a few things. A reputation is those things that they think they see in you. Your legacy is who you really are. Your legacy is what you leave over a long term. Your reputation is what you have when you come to a new community, when you make a new friend, when you go to a new school. But your legacy is what you leave behind when you go. See, it's not the reputation you come with, but what's the legacy you're going to leave with? A reputation is made in a moment, and that can change. But a legacy is something that is built over all the moments. A reputation is what men say about you on your tombstone. But a legacy is what your children will live with for the rest of their lives. You see, a reputation is something that is nice, but it's like cotton candy. It melts and it's gone. Whereas a legacy is like a good steak that adds to you, becomes who you are. People, we need to be people not of reputation, but we need to be people of legacy. What impact are you having on other people? Let's look at those three things that Paul says, because if we're going to leave a legacy, we've got to do these three things. If we're going to leave a legacy, it doesn't just happen. See, your reputation just happens. A legacy is built. You've got to choose. God has given you the choice to determine your legacy. If you just go through life and you're just going to enjoy life and whatever comes your way, you know what? You're not going to leave a legacy that matters. If we're going to leave a legacy that matters, that is worth living, one that you are going to be content with, that when you take your last breath, you can be like Paul and say, I'm happy. I've done what I could. I'm not perfect. It's not that I've done everything right. But you know what? I can say that I left a legacy. You have to do these three things. The first thing that he says is that I fought the good fight. If you're going to leave a legacy, people, we've got to fight for it. You have to fight for a legacy. That means you have to make choices. You need to take control of your choices. What are we fighting for? Now, the Bible says that our fight, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but our fight is against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. What we're fighting against is we're not fighting against poverty. We're not fighting against things that keep us from succeeding. We're not fighting against circumstances. We're not fighting against the man who's keeping us down. Our fight is against spiritual forces that want to change your character. Understand this. Your fight is for your character. Your fight is for who you are, the type of person you are. And you know, you have to fight by making every decision based on what you want to be. You need to understand that everything that comes out of your mouth, if you just let yourself fly off the handle, if you just let yourself respond to things, you're not going to be in control of who you are. You've got to fight for every choice that you make. I will choose to develop character in my life. I will choose to develop integrity. I will choose to develop a character of faithfulness. I will choose to develop a character of kindness, of gentleness. I will choose to develop a character of holiness. In other words, you have to choose to live right. And that's a fight, because I'm telling you, there are spiritual forces that want to seduce you into pleasure. Just live for the moment. Take the most you can out of life. But I'm telling you, if you don't fight for holiness and character, you are never going to leave a legacy that's worth living. Because your own pleasure will only last for a second, and it will die with you. What kind of a legacy is to be known as someone who lived for themselves? You see, that's not going to make any difference. In fact, it's going to steal from others. If we don't fight for integrity and fight for our character, we become a taker rather than a giver. We leave a legacy of one that I'm glad he's gone, because you know what? He was sucking me dry. I don't want to leave that type of legacy. And yet, are we, and we're not even aware of it. People, we need to become more aware. That's the fight. The fight that we're fighting is the fight of awareness that, wow, what I am doing is hurting others. We need to fight the fight of waking up. We need to wake up, people, and begin to understand what we're saying, what we're doing. Where are we spending our time? Where are our priorities showing up? What is that telling those around us? Many times we don't even think about what our choices are saying to those that we work with, those that we live around in our neighborhood. And you're choosing what legacy that you're leaving. We've got to fight for those things. Well, not only do we need to fight the fight, but he said, I have finished the race. You see, here's the thing that we need to understand, that not only are we in a fight, but we are in a race. Because this life is only so long. How are we going to finish it? There's only two things that can keep you from finishing the race. The first thing is if you get disqualified. If you've ever run a race, you get disqualified. We need to begin to understand that I've got to make sure that I don't get disqualified. Now, what keeps you from being disqualified? You need to know the rules. You need to know the guidelines for the race. And too many times, we think that we can break the rules and everything will be fine. And yet we disqualify ourselves to make a difference in other people's life. How many times that we want to influence others, right? We have an opinion. We want people to listen to our opinion, and yet we never qualify ourselves for them to listen to us. People, if we're going to finish the race, we need to be people that builds trust, that they are willing to even listen to us, to make a difference. And yet we disqualify ourselves by living a life of, you know, we can sin and we can do everything we want, and then we want to come and tell them, hey, you need to stop doing that. That's wrong. And they look at us and say, what a hypocrite you are. Guys, we need to begin to live a life of saying, you know what, I am going to qualify myself to finish this race. You might say, I've blown it in the past, but you need to say from this point on, I'm going to start running by the rules. Not my own rules, but by the rules that God has set out for me. I need to finish the race. Well, the other thing is many times we disqualify ourselves, but the other thing is many times we dishearten ourselves. The other way not to finish is to just lose heart and we give up. And that's where endurance comes in. To finish the race, sometimes we got to push through the hard times. Not only do we need to run by the rules, but we also need to learn to develop perseverance. Because I'm telling you, it's not always going to be easy. But the person who leaves a legacy is someone that doesn't give up when the going gets tough. How many know that there's a lot of people in our life that, man, we looked up to them, but then all of a sudden, they just gave up on us. They weren't there. And we say, wow, that wasn't any good. People, let's be people that are people of faithfulness, that are people of endurance. If we are going to run the race, if you're going to run the race with your kids, dads, you got to understand that there's going to be disappointments. We are not always going to see what we want to see, but we've got to push through that. We can't give up on them. And it's the same with others in your life. I want to encourage you to be patient and perseverance with those around you. And even in your circumstances, we need to model endurance in this life and not give in to all of those things that keep pulling us away. So if we're going to finish the race, I want to encourage you, don't get disqualified and don't get disheartened because God believes in you. You see, God believes in you that the more you take hold of God, the more you're going to be able to share that with others. So we need to fight the fight. We need to finish the race. And in fact, here's what Paul says to the Galatians. He wrote to them, he says, you were running well, but what happened? What hindered you from obeying the truth? See, a lot of us start really good, but we don't finish. And then in Hebrews, he encourages us this way. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who's that he's talking about? He's talking about those that have gone before us. There have been those that have spoken into our life. There have been those that have paid the price for us, but then there's been those even in the Word of God that are our examples and our fathers, and they are surrounding us. They are rooting us on. They are believing in us. So therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Guys, let's run the race. And that's for all of us. We need to run the race with endurance, and it will leave a legacy. The third thing that he said is, fight the fight. I've finished the race, but I've kept the faith. Guys, I want to encourage you, we need to keep the faith. You might say, I've been a Christian all my life. I would never walk away from God. But you see, what we think and define as not walking away from God is a false image. Because no matter how old we get, we don't walk away from the idea of God, but we walk away from the presence of God in our life. And he says, if you are going to leave a legacy, guys, you've got to keep the faith. You need to understand that you've got to stay close to God. You've got to pull in. We've got to begin to guard our faith. And our faith is not just a set of beliefs and philosophies. See, that's easy, and many times we hide behind that. But that's not the faith that Paul says. Paul says, I've kept the faith. In other words, that which God entrusted to me, I guarded it, and I kept it a fire. It's like someone giving you the last spark of a fire. And we've got to keep that thing fanned so it doesn't go out. Because if it goes out, it gets really cold and it gets really dark. Guys, we've kept alive this religious notion of God, but we've let the spark go out in our heart. And you can't leave a legacy without a true fire for God. I want to encourage you, students, there are so much that wants to put out the fire of God in you. There is the philosophies of culture that wants to drown you in these things that, oh, don't believe that. The Bible is just kind of out of date. It's not relevant to today. It didn't understand. Don't fall for the deception that the enemy puts in us to put out the fire of a godly passion. We've got to keep the faith. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it is so easy for doubt to come in. It is so easy for hurt to come in. And adults, we do this. Many times adults, what puts out our faith is hurt and the thorns of life. You know, we've just gone through it and we're just tired. Either way, whether it's the seduction of the world for the youth or whether it's the weight of the hurt and the weariness of the journey for us adults, we need to not let those things put out the fire of our faith. How do we keep the faith? There's only one way that we keep the faith, and it is by pursuing God daily. Every day, you have to make a decision to pursue God. You see, if you're keeping a flame alive every day, you got to keep feeding that flame. If you don't feed it, it goes out. Because once it burns through the fuel, that log, that tinder that it had yesterday, that's not good enough for today. Many times, guys, we think, well, I've already said a prayer. I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. That's not good enough for today. That was good for yesterday. But you've got to feed the flame of your faith every day. I want to encourage us. Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time coming together? Those three things feed our faith, and we cannot neglect those things. We need to continually feed the faith within us. Because when you feed the faith, you will leave a legacy. It is like a brand, and I've said this before. How many know if you've ever worked out in the cattle and you've seen that? You take that brand to make sure that that cattle is marked. That gives that cattle a purpose. It gives that cattle an ownership. It knows who it is. You know what? I want to give the world, there are people that are lost. There are people without purpose. I want to give them purpose. I want to give them belonging that God desires for them. So I want to be that mark. But you see, if that brand does not get red hot, you can press up against people and you'll leave a mark for a short time, right? If you press that brand against a cow, you know, it's going to leave a mark for a little bit, but then pretty soon it goes away. It's only when your life is red hot that you burn in a mark that does not go away. You see, we're rubbing up against people all the time. But if we don't have that passion of God that is fresh and hot within us, you're never going to leave a legacy. Well, you're going to leave one, but it's not going to be one worth leaving. We need to keep the faith. Romans chapter 1, Paul says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. How many would like to have that faith that, you know what, people talk about your faith everywhere they go because it was so hot. It was fresh. It was real. It wasn't just religious. It wasn't just this book knowledge. There was something about you that was real and authentic that they begin to talk about it everywhere. Paul continues, he says in 1 Corinthians, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. You see, we've got to stand firm. We've got to keep the faith, and we need to let the love of God fill everything that we do. Well, I want to close with this one statement. If we're going to leave a legacy, we've got to fight the fight. We got to finish the race. We got to keep the faith. But here's the real truth about it. You can't do it. I just want to tell you, I know this is not too positive. You can't fight the fight. All of you are pretty weak. We are pretty pathetic. I'm not putting you down. I'm pretty pathetic. I can't fight the fight. Do you think I can really fight against those spiritual temptations that come? How many have ever been tempted? You know that when you are truly tempted, you give in to it every time, right? Your friends come up to you, let's go do this. I know I shouldn't do it. I know I shouldn't do it. Okay, let's go do it. Adults, you know what? You know, I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't. I'm at work. I don't want to do it. I do it. You know we do it. You know, someone says something and I don't want to respond. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I said it. We can't do it. You know what? We can't finish the race. It's like that marathon and I've done them. And mile, you know what? 20 miles, I feel good. 20 miles, man, I'm a champion. I've just run 20 miles. And I'm going to tell you, and anyone that runs marathons, I don't know what happens, but there's something physically about our bodies that at 20 miles, things change. You go from a champion to this is crazy. All of a sudden, you are dying. There's something about that last 5 miles, that last 6 miles. If they would change a marathon to 20 miles, boy, there'd be a lot of champions. Boy, but you just can't do it. You want to give up. You know what? We can't finish this race. Keep the faith. How many know that passion for God, no matter how hard we try, have we not all felt like it's gone out? We've all been through there. That passion for God is just dead. You know, we're here Sunday morning. I will guarantee you some of you will wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh God, it's gone. We can't. You can't do those things. So how does God expect us to leave a legacy? This is what Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is an awesome statement. You can't do it, but Christ can do it in you. If you will lay yourself down and let Christ live in you. That's why Jesus said, he who wants to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. If you will let Christ in your life, that means you don't make your decisions anymore. Every morning you wake up, God, I'm going to let you make the decision for me. You've got to let Christ live in you. And I know that's a sacrifice. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to be willing to give up things. And this is the hardest thing to understand, that if you will begin to give up things and sacrifice, you will actually gain. And I know in the world that doesn't make sense. You mean if I don't do all the pleasure that I want, I'll actually have more pleasure? Yes. If you will trust God and follow him, even if following him looks like it's the hardest trail there is, you will find that at mile 20, all of a sudden, there's something that shifts. That when you're doing it on your own at mile 20, you die. When you're doing it in Christ, all of a sudden at mile 20, now I feel like a champion. You see, it's just the opposite. When you begin to trust God, He begins to take over, and now I felt better than I ever did. Why did I not let him live in me before? And I know it's hard, guys, because the world looks so good. But when you begin to let Christ live in you, that's the only way you can fight the fight. It's only when Christ takes over that you can finish the race. And it's only that Christ comes in and breathes his life and I surrender to him that I can keep the faith. I want to close and just read this. This is from a book. And so I'm going to close. This is, you've graduated, so this is a little story time, right? But this represents, I think, a great illustration of this. And I want to enclose with this, and I want to encourage you. This is from C.S. Lewis, an awesome Christian writer, who was an atheist. In fact, he was an atheist professor who absolutely hated God, turned away from God, and yet God came in and he came to know God in such a way that it changed his life. And how many know that the books that he wrote, The Chronicles of Narnia, are great books. I loved them as a kid. And they in the way of story, he gives great spiritual principles. So I just want to read, this is from the book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And this really illustrates how we leave a legacy, because we can't leave it on our own. On our own, we become dragons. In The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there was a boy named Eustace. And Eustace was a real little jerk. Everyone hated him because he was selfish and he was self-centered. And he lived for himself, kind of like all of us. And as they were on this journey, he came across this treasure. And it was a dragon's treasure. But the dragon was defeated. And so he got all the treasure for himself. And as he was with all the treasure, he laid down to take a nap and just enjoy all that he had now. And it says, without him knowing, he had turned into a dragon himself while he was asleep. For he was sleeping on a dragon's hoard with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart. And so he had become a dragon himself. You see, that explained everything. There had not been two dragons in the cave when he woke up. The claws to his right and his left had been his own. The two columns of smoke that had been coming were coming from his own nostrils. And for the pain that was in his left arm, or what had used to been his left arm, he could now see is what when he squinted with his left eye, that it was the bracelet which had fitted very nicely on his upper arm of his boy arm was far too small for the thick, stumpy foreleg of a dragon. It had sunk deeply into his scaly flesh, and there was a throbbing bulge on each side of it. He tore at the place where the dragon's teeth, but he could not get it off. And in spite of the pain, his first feeling was one of relief. There was nothing now to be afraid of anymore. In fact, he was now a terror himself. Nothing in the world could defeat him. Who would dare attack him? Maybe a knight, but not even all of those. He could even get even now with Caspian and Edmund. But the moment he thought these things, he realized that he didn't want to. He wanted friends. He wanted to get back among humans and talk and laugh and share things. He realized that he was a monster cut off from the whole human race. An appalling loneliness came over him. And he began to see that others had not really been fiends at all. And he began to wonder if he himself had been such a nice person as he had always supposed. He longed for voices. He would have been grateful for a kind word even from Reepicheep. When he thought of this, the poor dragon that had been Eustace lifted up his voice and wept, a powerful dragon crying its eyes out under the moon in a deserted valley is a sight and a sound hardly to be imagined. You see, on our own, if we try and fight the fight, we become dragons. And we isolate ourselves. We hurt people. We don't think we are, but we do. And so, later on, he comes back. And he tells Edmund this story. He says, "Well, Edmund, anyway, I looked up and I saw the very last thing that I expected, a huge lion coming slowly toward me. And one strange thing was that there was no moon last night, but there was moonlight where the lion was. And so it came nearer and nearer, and I was terribly afraid of it. And you may think that being a dragon, I could have knocked the lion out easily enough, but it wasn't that kind of fear. I wasn't afraid of it eating me. I was just afraid of it, if you can even understand that. Well, it came close up to me, and he looked straight into my eyes, and I shut my eyes tight. But that wasn't any good, because he told me to follow it." "You mean it spoke to you?" "Well, I don't know, now that you mention it. I don't think it did. But all the same, it told me to follow him. And I knew I'd have to do what it told me. So I got up and followed it. And it led me a long way into the mountains, and there was always this moonlight over and around the lion wherever he went. So at last we came to the top of a mountain that I had never seen before. And on the top of this mountain, there was a garden and trees and fruit and everything. And in the middle of it, there was a well. I knew it was a well because I could see the water bubbling up from below it. But it was a lot bigger than most wells, like a very big round bath with marble steps going down into it. The water was as clear as anything, and I thought if I could just get into that water and bathe in it, it would ease the pain in my leg. But the lion told me I must first undress before I got in the water. Mind you, I don't know if he said these words out loud or not, but I was just going to say that I couldn't undress because I didn't have any clothes on when suddenly I realized that dragons are a snaky sort of thing, and snakes can take off their skin. Of course, thought I, that's what the lion means. So I started scratching myself, and my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little deeper, and instead of just scales coming off here and there, my whole skin began to start peeling off beautifully, like it does after an illness, or as if I was a banana. In a minute or two, I just stepped out of it, and I could see it lying there beside me, looking rather nasty. It was a most lovely feeling, so I started to go into the well for my bath. But just as I began to put my foot into the water, I looked down and I saw that it was still hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just as it had been before. "Oh, that's all right," I said. "It only means that I've got another small suit on underneath the first one, and I'll have to get out of it too." So I scratched and tore again, and this underskin peeled off again beautifully, and I stepped out of it and left it lying right there beside the other one and went down for my bath. But exactly the same thing happened again, and I thought to myself, "Oh dear, how am I ever going to get all of these skins off?" For I was longing to get in the bath. So I scratched away for a third time, and I got off a third skin, just like the other two, and I stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good. Then the lion said to me, "You will have to let me undress you." But I was afraid of his claws. I can tell you, but I was pretty desperate now. So I just lay flat down on my back, and I let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was this weird feeling of pleasure as he peeled it off. You know, it was like pulling a scab off of a sore place. It hurts so bad, but it feels so good coming away. Well, he peeled that beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I had done it myself three other times. And there it was lying on the grass, ever so thick and dark and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, smooth and soft and peeled as a switch. smaller than I had ever been. Then he caught hold of me, and I didn't like that very much because I was very tender underneath now that I had no skin on. And he threw me into the water, and it smarted like anything, but only for a moment. For after that, it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone away from my arm. And then I saw why, because I had turned back into a boy again. You'd think me simply phony if I told you how I felt about my own arms. I know they have no muscle, and they're pretty moldy compared to Caspian's, but I was so glad to see them. And after a bit, the lion took me out and dressed me. He dressed you with his paws? Well, I don't exactly remember how he did it, but he did somehow, in new clothes, the same that I've got on now, and as a matter of fact. And then suddenly, I was back here. Today, guys, if we want to leave a legacy, we got to understand we've got to take the scales and the skin of this dragon heart off. But you cannot change yourself. You can't leave a legacy. Here's the thing, you've got to lay down and let the Lion of Judah rip this sinful flesh off. And it's painful. And it hurts. But I'm telling you, if you will let Jesus tear to the very heart of your being, you will find such pleasure that you can never imagine. And he will make you a real person again, one that will leave a legacy to those around you. Are you willing to get on your back and surrender to him and say, it's no longer I that's going to live, but it's going to be Christ in me? If you let Christ live in you, then you will leave a legacy that is worth leaving. Let's bow our hearts.